I am going to be, I'm going to talk fast. If you listen fast, we will get out of here in an early time so we can get over to that prayer meeting. You read the verses, and of course you understand where we're going with them if you paid attention at all. These are Jesus' prototypical words on prayer. When you think, there's a lot of disciplines in the Christian life, you know, reading our Bible, living right, all the things we do, soul winning, these different things that we do that God asks us to do as Christians. Of all of them, by the way, giving is also one of those. I thought I'd throw that in for free because next week is the building offering. So I thought I'd want you to remember. You may not have remembered that. I'm just throwing it out there. But of all of them, probably one of the hardest for God's people to do is to pray on a regular basis. Just be real honest with you. If we named five of the Christian disciplines, whatever they are, boom, 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 and we asked who does them consistently, I would almost guarantee that we would probably be shocked that I would believe prayer would probably be the last one. Probably even over giving. Because it's difficult and it's work. It's uncomfortable. You get easily distracted. Prayer is not a discipline that you will ever feel like, man, I got this down. I totally nailed it and I'm so comfortable with it. None of us do. But it is something that is kind of vitally important. We always, you know, people say that the hardest thing for the last thing that a Christian usually does is give, and the first thing they usually stop doing when they start to go the wrong direction is they stop giving. But I really don't believe that's the issue anymore. I think prayer would probably be at the very, very top of the list. Now, having said that, we need to understand the importance of it. Someone said prayer is the provision for every need and the solution for every problem. If you look, if you think about all the things that are going on in your life and in our church, we have to understand that prayer is vitally important for all of these situations, whether it's our family, whether it's relationships, whether it's situations in life that comes up, and from a church standpoint, having God's favor in our church and getting the building done. Prayer is vitally important. And so for a few minutes tonight, I want us to look at prayer and encourage us in this discipline of prayer. While Jesus was on the earth, he went about his Father's business and fulfilling his will. But as he was doing that, he also was planning for the time when he would no longer be on this earth. And part of that planning involved him getting his guys, the 12 disciples, of which he would lose one, and training them and teaching them to be ready for when he left so that they would be prepared to do the work that he had them to do. And there was many lessons that they had to learn. So he chose them. They lived with him. They learned from him. They were trained by him. They watched what he did. Now on this occasion, as they saw Jesus pray, it motivated them to ask him about prayer. They asked him to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. Now, the thing that when it comes to prayer, and we're going to look at some of the things Jesus taught here briefly tonight, but the biggest thing we need to understand is we don't need to necessarily know as much about how to pray as we need to be motivated to actually pray. Think of it this way. Prayer is a communication between you and your God, based on a relationship you have with him. If you're married and you courted, when you met your spouse and you first started courting each other, it's probably when you first met each other, it was a little awkward to talk. You didn't know a lot about each other. But as the time went by, it became easier and easier and easier to communicate. Why? Because you were developing a relationship. And as we develop our relationship with God, it'll just become natural that we will want to speak to him and we will want to spend time in prayer with him. And so tonight I want us to take a brief look at prayer, not just to learn about it, but that we would actually practice it. So there's four truths I want us to see that will help us to actually practice prayer. First, I want you to see the desire. Look back at verse 1 if you will. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of the disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. Now that was not something Jesus had just mentioned to them right there. That was something they saw in him. And by the way, if Jesus, the Lord, Master of the universe, prayed, he left us an example that we also should pray. If you want an argument for the importance of prayer, the fact that Jesus did it is all the argument that you really need. Most of our problems with prayer are not about a time, are not about a place, are not about a method. It's just simply that we don't do it. James 4 tells us, ye have not because ye ask not. And you don't have to have a training to start praying. Now, I will be honest. Sometimes we pray and we're younger and we don't quite get it. And that's okay. You know, we have our Saturday prayer meeting on Saturday morning. We'll split up and we'll pray for a few minutes here. And I'll usually take one of the younger kids that are there. Sometimes I see, you know, they'll bring the bus kids, and there's a couple of the young guys will bring their family with them. And it's like, I'll take one of the young kids. And I was like, all right, you know how to pray? You ready to go? And I'm like, all right. And there's like 30 lists, and I'll give them 5. Okay, this is this one, and this one. You pray for those 5, and I try to explain it to them real quick. And then I'll take the rest of them. But you know what? I like hearing them pray. You say, well, they don't really know what they're doing. Some of them are really brief. I mean, they're basically reading them. Lord, bless this, 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 and this. But you know what? That's okay. And, you know, I remember when I first learned, when I was at Gethsemane, they gave us a prayer list. They gave us a big, it was 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper, and had all these different people on the list. And I had great faith. And so I took it home and I laid it down and said, Lord, I don't know anyone. I had all these missionaries, Lord, I don't know any of them. You know, somebody's gallbladder. I have no idea who that is. In fact, I barely understand what a gallbladder is. And I'm like, Lord, I don't know anything about any of these situations, but you know everything on this paper. Take care of it. In Jesus' name, amen. I said, what's so hard about praying over the prayer sheet? There's like 100 things there. I did it in 15 seconds. Now, I understand a little bit more now. But the thing is, let's not be afraid. We have to be motivated to just simply talk to our God. You don't get on your knees and start praying. God says, that's not how you do it. That is not how you do it. Okay? God wants us to speak to him. Now, as we get along, we'll learn a few things here that'll help us. Learning about God's word or learning about what God wants us to do is no good if we are not practicing it. That the Bible wants us to pray is not even an issue. Let me quote some verses. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Yes. Luke 18:1, he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Yes. So what is the deal? God wants us to pray. And I like Nehemiah. If you read the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah wasn't always dropping to his knees praying, but he would just pray when situations. He's talking to the king, and the king would ask him a question, or he was trying to ask him a question. And right there, in front of the king, in his mind, before he asked, he would just send a quick prayer to God. Lord, help me say the right thing. Be with me. And so, prayer. God wants us to pray. Do you have a desire to do it? Now, it's one of those things. It's to me, it's, and I know Christians struggle with their Bible reading, but to me, it's easier to read your Bible. And that's okay. We want God to talk to us. But it's a lot harder to get on our knees and actually pray about something. And so God wants us to pray. So we see the desire. The disciples had a desire when they saw Jesus pray. Secondly, Jesus gave them the design. Look at verses 2 through 4. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as it is in heaven. And in earth, give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, we call this the Lord's Prayer. Although he would never need to pray that because he didn't need forgiveness. But it's not some rote prayer that Jesus prayed. It's a prayer that he's teaching us, and he's giving us really a framework for which to pray. In other words, he's teaching us how to pray and the type of things that we should pray about. And underneath this design, there's several things that he mentions. He talks about the relationship of prayer. When you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We go and we can pray that our prayer is based on the fact that we've been saved and we now have a relationship with Him. That's why it shouldn't be hard to pray, because we're talking to our Heavenly Father. And because we have that relationship with Him, we can come before Him. Romans tells us that's why we can call Him Abba Father. There is nothing more important than talking to God, who is our spiritual Father. I read in a book once, President Lyndon Johnson, he was out to eat with his press secretary. And as they sat down to eat, his press secretary was a Christian, and he bowed his head, and in his mind he started mumbling a prayer of grace for his meal. Johnson didn't know what was going on. He said, "Hey, speak up. I can't hear you. What are you saying?" And the press secretary looked at him and said, "That's okay. I wasn't talking to you." He didn't say it mean, but he just said, he was talking to his God, by the way, which is much more important than any president. Amen. And so it's based on a relationship. That's why it shouldn't be something that we're you know, overly, am I doing it right? Listen, you're talking to your Father. He also mentions the requirements of prayer. The requirement is this: prayer is not about what we want, but prayer should be about what God wants. He mentions three thys. He talks about hallowed be thy name. Understanding that who he is the one that's in control. As we are praying, we're not trying to tug on his ear to make him do something we want to do, but we understand that it's all about his honor and it's his glory and it's his name. Yeah. By the way, you never hear something, hey, don't do that. You're a Pachardo. We don't do that. Okay? You carry that name, right? And so it's very important that we understand that. Everything is not about us. And prayer is one of those things that's really not about us. And it's one of those things because it's something so private that we need to be very careful. But it's about what God wants. It's because it's His name that's on the line. And it's His kingdom. Thy kingdom come. Someone has said prayer isn't asking God for what we want to accomplish on this earth so we get glorified. It's about asking God to accomplish what He wants on this earth so that He gets glorified. Now, I understand that word kingdom, and it's used a lot in Christian circles. You know, we're just trying to help the kingdom, and they do things that aren't helping the kingdom. You get all that. But it really is about His kingdom. What are we trying to get done on this earth? What are we trying to accomplish? Who are we trying to glorify? It's about what God is trying to do. And then it's about His will. Thy will be done in earth, thy will be done as in heaven as in earth. As I said before, heard this somewhere, the purpose of prayer is not to get man's will done on earth, but to get God's will done. It's not to get man's will done in heaven, but to get God's will done on earth. Maybe sometimes we don't get answers to prayer because we're praying about things that aren't necessarily what God wants. And by the way, let's be very, very careful how we pray. With a lot of people, they'll say, you know, I've been praying about this. I've had people that come into my office and say, you know, I prayed about this and I know what I'm doing. And that's fine. But sometimes we pray and we don't give God an option. Lord, I was wondering, is this what you want me to do? And you've already decided to do it. You're just kind of looking for some kind of spiritual stamp on it. Okay, let's make sure when we go for God, yes, we can ask Him for things. And yes, we can ask about it. But I'll tell you how you make sure you get the answer. Make sure that completely in your heart, your will is out of it. Now, you may have a desire for it, but say, Lord, I know that I'm kind of trending this way or wanting to do it. But Lord, honestly, I want to do what you want to do, what you want me to do. Because we want His will to be done. He talks also about, in this, he talks about the request of prayer. And really, this is a good outline for us to follow. By the way, the word prayer means asking. God does want us to ask. Now, when we pray, we, in our discipleship book, we talk about, we use the acronym ACTS in prayer. A stands for adoration. Tell God how wonderful He is. Tell God about what He is like. You notice that in the Bible prayers. Lord, you are the God of all gods. You are the God of the false gods, and you made the heavens and you made the earth. Listen, God likes to hear that, and by the way, we should tell them that because that's who He is. And C is for confession. You know, we confess our sins. T is for thanksgiving, and then we get to the S, which is supplication, which is asking. God wants us to ask for things. It's okay. If we're asking with an open heart and we're open to whatever God answers, that is fine. But he does want us to bring requests. And look at a couple of the requests here. First is provision. Give us this day our daily bread. By the way, you ought to ask God to have your needs met. You say, well, I don't need to ask God for my daily bread because it's in the, I go home, it's in the fridge right now. Well, that's nice. But you know what? What about a week from now? We talk about stewardship. God's the one that's providing for you. And the time to ask God to provide for you is today, even though you feel you may have what you need today. Because God could just pull that rug out from under you anytime he wants. Right. Ask God, Lord, give us what we need today. Forgiveness, and forgive our sins as we forgive everyone that is indebted to us. We need to be asked. Now, by the way, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. My sins are forgiven. Yes, that's in a positional. In other words, the position is you are going to be going to heaven. If you've trusted Christ, your sins are forgiven when it comes to that standpoint. But your sins still affect your relationship with God on this earth. And we need that forgiveness. And so we need to have that forgiveness and we bring it to him. And then we need guidance. He says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lord, guide me in the way you want me to do. What do you want for my future? And Lord, help me to deviate away from that which would cause me to do wrong. You know, and by the way, it is true. In our Sunday school, I was thinking Sunday morning, it was in our Sunday school class. We talked about victory over temptation. And temptation faces all of us. Just if we're just living our lives, we're going to face it. But let me just tell you something. There's a difference between that kind of temptation and the temptation that we put ourselves into. We allow ourselves, because we buy into some of Satan's little detours there, that we allow ourselves to be put into. That's a temptation you're going to have a hard time facing. Some people are like, man, that temptation was just too strong for me. And the Bible says, you know, there hath no temptation taken you as such as common to man. Well, the reason it was too strong is you probably put yourself under that temptation. Right. And that's not a temptation God ever wanted you. And so we pray, and Lord, deliver us from evil. And so God does not mind when we ask him. Thirdly, Jesus taught them about determination. I'm not going to go into all the specifics of the story, but I do want to read the verses here. Verse 5, and he said unto them, which of you have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves? By the way, if you need 3 loaves of bread, don't come to my house at midnight. Okay? Brother Ross said you can come to his house anytime you want. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. My friend's come, and I need some food. I don't have anything. Can you give me some? And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. He goes, basically, let me just modify it. I'm in bed. Leave me alone. Okay? Are you serious? Just got the children down. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of the importunity, he will rise and give him as much as he needeth. And he said unto him, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. That's not talking about one time. That's talking about continually asking and seeking and knocking. And he's saying, listen, if he keeps singing the door, please, please, I got to have this. Eventually it's like, look, I'm going to get up. I'm going to give you the bread so you can get out of here and I can go to bed. Now, that doesn't mean that we have to bug God to get what he wants us to have. It just means God does wants to see sometimes how serious we are about it. We just want to go and ask for one time and we're done with it. Listen, that there's no determination in that. We have to keep coming to God and begging God for help. Amen. The problem is we don't like to do that. We stop just short of getting what God wants to finally give us. By the way, and I won't get into this, but you know there's a spiritual aspect to prayer, right? It was Daniel chapter 10 where he's praying and he got the answer 21 days after because it was a spiritual war. He goes, listen, when you prayed, I had the answer, but I had a spiritual battle to get it to you. Maybe he got through because he was continuing to pray. Let's be determined in our prayer. Let's not start and then stop. If there's something there, let's keep praying until we know for sure what the answer is or God answers it. Let's not give up so quickly and so easily. And then lastly, there's a declaration. Verse 11. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? That depends on how he's been behaving, right? Okay. You want some food? Here, eat this rock. It actually sounds like a good idea sometimes. Or if he asks a fish, I don't know why anybody would ever ask for a fish. Will he give him a serpent? I would rather give my kids a serpent than fish, okay? Fish is of the devil. Jesus walked on water and he ate fish. Those are two things I'll never do. Or if he shall ask an egg, will he give him a scorpion? Now, come on. A father that loves his children is not going to do that. They're going to give, and these kids weren't asking for ridiculous things. They're asking for necessities. And he's like, if a child comes to a father and he asks for necessities, a good father is going to give him those things. He's going to answer that request. And then he says, verse 13, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask him? Yes, here's the principle here. Because God knows and loves us, we should never be afraid of the answers he gives to our prayers. Amen. They weren't afraid to go to their dad because they knew their dad would give them what they needed. Sometimes we're afraid to go to God because we're afraid he might not give us the answer that we're seeking. Or we don't think God will come through on what we really need. Do you know God is your father? And God loves you more than an earthly father would ever love you. And God's not going to give you something that you don't need. God's not going to not take care of you and meet your needs because you're his child. That's the principle. The principle is about relationship. God loves us, and he is our Father, and anything we ask that we need, God says that he'll take care of us. And God will, and whatever God does give us will be that which is perfect for us if we'll just trust him. If I were to tell God, what do you want me to do with my life? A lot of you are afraid to ask that because you think God's going to make you a missionary to Antarctica. He's going to put you in a place that you would absolutely hate. That's what a father would do. Don't you think God loves you enough that he wants what's best for you? If we'll just simply ask him for it. Prayer is important. And although we've been praying much for the building, prayer is more important than just a building. But what I understand is we don't need just to know about prayer. We need to actually practice it. If you struggle with that, I encourage you, get to prayer. Don't wait. You're talking to God. Let's all stand this evening for a minute. Every head bowed, every eye closed, just for a second.